Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Let's just say standing for a minute, because I want to take a second as we kick off this new series to just pause and reflect on some words of life and some words of hope as we head into this. So can you just maybe just close your eyes and take a second. Let's bring to mind maybe some of the ways in our lives that we could use a little bit of mercy as we understand it now. Maybe a little bit of mercy towards ourselves, how we speak and think about ourselves. Maybe a little bit of mercy from someone else who we could use some mercy from. Maybe somebody else that we could offer some mercy to. And then let's just reflect on these words. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide us to the path of peace. How much hope is in those words for you this morning? How much life is there in those words? A new dawn is about to break upon you. How about we thank our God for that new morning? Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. You guys can take a seat. My name is Singe. I'm the youth pastor here. If you're not from around Gateway and you're wondering why you're stuck with the youth pastor this morning, it's because all the other pastors are on leave and I was the last person left, so here I am. So I thought, we're in our stand-up meeting before the service, and we thought, if the youth pastor's going to be here, going to be looking after the service, I thought, we need to change it up. So first thing you do is get up, we're going to clear all the chairs to the side. I went, no, just kidding, that's fine. Hey, I am actually really excited about this series. It is 6 weeks, as Tree said. There's still an opportunity to join a life group. You can talk to the people in the Connect Center about that. It's going to go for 6 weeks. And when we talk about an all church campaign, they're pretty fantastic because it's just a chance for us to all study the same material for a short period of time. And more than that, it's an opportunity. If you've been thinking about a life group, if you haven't been sure about getting more connected into church, this is the perfect opportunity because you can join for the 6 week life group. And then at the end, if it wasn't working for you, you're more than welcome to say, catch you later, suckers. I'm out of here. Well, you only have to sign up for 6 weeks. So I'd encourage you to give it a crack and get everything you can out of this series. And at the end of the day, you know, this series is about what God's mercy looks like to us. It's about what mercy means for how we live. And I have no doubt that by the end of this 6 weeks, you'll understand why we're calling it a miracle. So what is mercy? As you came in, you would have been given an outline. It's a great way to follow along with the message and try and make sense of what I'm saying when I go off on unrelated tangents. So you can pull that out and you first fill in there because it makes sense. What is mercy? It's undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. That's your first fill in. Undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. And I was kind of thinking about, how do I put this into the real world for us? What is an example of mercy that I can show or that I can, you know, give to you out of my own life? So I have a very imperfect example of mercy from my own life. So who here has ever been late to work? Who here has ever been like properly late to work? You know what I mean? There's like late to work and then there's like, is this person dead? Like properly late to work. I have been properly late to work exactly one time. I pride myself on my promptness to work. I've been properly late one time and I smashed it out of the park. Like if you're going to be late for work, you might as well do it properly. I think, you know, like, it is 2019 now. I think we're all over the excuse, like, oh, my alarm just didn't work. Like, I said it, it didn't go off or something. We all know that that's not true. When somebody says that now, nobody believes you, right? Because it's not true. Phones are not that unreliable. We all know they keep up to date with daylight savings. Like, that's not a real excuse. But in my case, I'm sure I set an alarm and my phone just didn't go off in this particular case. So we do need to go back a couple of steps. We need to talk about what my actual job was to understand why this was such a horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach when I was a few hours late for work. Because it wasn't from when I was a pastor. It was from when I worked in the events industry. Events, they rely pretty heavily on things being on time. I was working at a pretty fancy hotel in the city called the Park Hyatt, and working in conferencing, looking after AV. And there's this weird job. If you've never been involved in corporate conferences, there's this weird job that we do in the AV sphere of conferences. It's called speakers preparation, or the speakers prep room. Now, for anybody who hasn't ever spoken at a corporate conference, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But essentially, this is the room where, especially 10 years ago, the speakers would have to come to this room rather than going straight to where they were going to present. You come to this room and there's a nerd there to collect your PowerPoint and make sure it's going to work when you get to the room. Because especially 10 years ago, you know, we used to work on lots of medical conferences and this sort of thing. There's all these people who would come with these PowerPoints and they would think they had audio files in them or think that they had video files in them. And there would just be problems all the time, like constantly. PowerPoint sort of sorted itself out now. It's a little bit better. But there were constant problems with videos. So you would have a room with people in it dedicated to making sure that when you got to stage, your PowerPoint would actually work, which is a good thing when you're presenting at a conference. So this particular day, this was part of my first time ever doing speakers preparation. So I'd been paired with this other person, Renee, who I didn't really know. It was my first sort of gig with her. And she was sort of teaching me the ropes. And this conference was actually not that big, but they were really serious about getting it right. Really serious. So we actually set up, like, the conference was Thursday, Friday. We set up the speaker's preparation room on Tuesday so that it could be open all day Wednesday for just, like, if a speaker was checking in and wanted to check their PowerPoint, that they could come down to the speaker's preparation on the day before the conference. How many speakers do you reckon came down on the day before? Zero. Renee and I sat in a room chatting and eating jelly beans. Like, that was the first day. And then what happens again, if you're not in this corporate sphere of conferences, what happens at most conferences is you have a plenary room, which is literally like Greek or something for all together. I don't know why we use Greek. I don't know why we just don't say this is the all together session, but they call it a plenary session. So there's plenary sessions, there's breakouts or concurrents and other, you know, other rooms that are going on all at the same time. And so this particular conference, it was pretty small. It was only for a few hundred people. It was a medical conference. And on the first day, on the Thursday, out of four sessions in the day, there were three plenary sessions and one session that just had two concurrents in it. So when we talk about how many PowerPoints you have to collect on that sort of day, not that many. Not worth having two people and speakers prep for it, but these people were serious about this. And I was all good, got through Thursday, that was fine. Friday comes, and the interesting thing about Friday is, if we work backwards from the end of the day, the last session of the day was a plenary session, the second last session of the day was a plenary session, the second session of the day was a plenary session, the first session of the day was six concurrents. I don't know who organized this conference, it was crazy. Now, Friday, the day where you actually really needed two people in speakers prep, in the morning, is the day that my phone obviously malfunctioned and I was late. I was late by like a long time. Like, I was due there at like 7 a.m. and at 8 they rang me and woke me up. And I live in Frankston and now it's 8 o'clock on Friday morning and I've got to try and get into the city. It's not a good morning. I'm driving, I'm freaking out, I'm like, speeding, probably. I don't know. I was young. Give me a break. I don't know. I'm trying to get to work. I'm just stressing out the whole way. And I get there and I rush in and collect a couple of presentations. And I go, oh my goodness, Renee, I'm so sorry. And she goes, it's all good. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay, I better go talk to Glenn. I got to go talk to the boss and apologize. She goes, no, don't worry about it. In this hotel, all the function rooms are on level 2, except for these two function rooms that were on like level 14. She was like, whenever Glenn came in and was looking for you, I just told him that you were upstairs in the treasury rooms. And that's why it's an imperfect example of mercy, because she did actually lie for me. But but to me, I mean, this is like an example of mercy. I'd met her 2 days before. I didn't deserve to be forgiven for being 2 hours late. She would have been totally within her rights to crack it and be complaining to Glenn and telling him how late I was and how I'd trashed her whole morning and how she'd had to collect all the presentations, deal with all the speakers for the biggest session, the only session that we actually needed two people for, she had done by herself. And I had done nothing to earn that kindness. I'd only met her 2 days before. The closest I might have come to earning that kindness was getting her a coffee at some point from the staff place where I didn't have to pay for it. Like, I had done nothing to earn this or to deserve this. And yet there was this moment of mercy, this moment of reprieve, this moment where I didn't have to face something that could have been really difficult to actually face. And now this is an imperfect example, don't get me wrong. But when we talk about mercy, we say that if someone forgives you and you don't deserve it, that's mercy. If someone shows you kindness and you didn't earn it, that's mercy. And if we want a more perfect example of mercy, when God sends his son to die for you, that is the epitome of mercy, right? But why do we need it? I mean, if you're not on board already with needing a little bit of mercy in your life, why do you need it? I mean, I think the first answer to this is because we can never measure up to people's unreasonable standards of turning up to work on time. We need a little bit of mercy sometimes. But it's true, we need it because we can't measure up to other people's standards all the time. We let people down. We let our partners down, we let our kids down, we let our friends down, we let our coach down, we let our teammates down. Whatever it is, how often, if we're honest, how often, if you're at uni, have you let somebody down in a group assignment or been let down by somebody? Like, you know what I'm talking about. We need a little bit of mercy here. I think we've all had experiences of mercy from others, from friends, from family, from teachers, coaches. I hope that we've all had the experience of offering some mercy to someone else, even though you didn't feel like it, also. But you know what, as a whole, I think society and us, I think the truth is that we're pretty bad at offering mercy to others. Although, we're pretty good at accepting it from others, right? Bad at offering it, good at accepting it. But you know, there's more to it than that. We need mercy because we can never measure up to God's standards either. Actually, go back a step. We can't really exist without God's mercy in our lives or without acknowledging God's mercy in our lives. You know, what did I do to earn my place on this earth? The air I breathe, mercy of God. The water I drink, mercy of God. Living in Australia, mercy of God. I'm not from Australia, and I love Australia compared to where I could have grown up and where I could be living right now. My family, who I don't always like, mercy of God still. My friends, mercy of God. My wife, mercy of God. Goodness knows, mercy of God, that I have a wife. Jeez. Everything. Some women agreeing with me. Everything that I have, everything that we have, us sitting here right now, mercy of God, right? God designed you and loved you before you ever did a single thing. And that is unearned kindness. And then God knew that you would not be perfect. And he gave the gift of undeserved forgiveness before you ever did a thing, right or wrong. That's undeserved forgiveness. And we all trip up again and again, sometimes, more often than not, over and over to the same things. And what response does God offer again and again, over and over? Mercy. No wonder the psalmist writes, surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There is not a thing that you can do. There's not a thing that you can do this week. There's not a thing that you did last week that was not in the light of God's mercy. And that is why mercy is so important. You know, we all know that Jesus had one main purpose on life, and we're very thankful for that. But he did actually have some side missions as well. He's basically a spy from heaven. Had lots of missions on the go. And one of those was to be a living example to us. And well, if we look at his living example, his life was marked by mercy. Healings, meals, teaching, one-on-one, in public, on the cross, mercy. So then for us to follow God is to live a life marked by mercy more than rules, marked by mercy more than my rights, marked by mercy more than harsh words spoken quickly, than revenge, than bravery, than intolerance, even more than justice. Our lives are to be marked by mercy. What would you hope people might say about you? I don't know for you, but I know for me, one of the things that I have decided and noticed in my life a little while ago and thought about is this. I don't dream that when people think about St. John at some point in the future, that they would say, well, if there's one thing you can say about St. John, he was just. That's not what I dream of. That's not what I'm hoping people are thinking about. To be fair, I'm also hoping that they don't say that I was unjust. Just to be clear. But I hope there's something in my life, that there's something that marks my life that speaks louder than whether I was just or unjust. I hope that they would say I chose grace over being right. I would hope that they would say I chose kindness to others over assumptions about them. And I would hope that they would say that I chose mercy over justice again and again, over and over, even when it wasn't deserved. You, all of you, were made to be used by God in this way, for a purpose far greater than yourself. And it's made possible, you being able to show mercy like this is made possible because of God's mercy to you. And you know what is the greatest part, the greatest news in that little thought? The greatest news is that it's because of God's mercy that he can use you. So he can use every single one of you because it's not about you. It's about his mercy in your life. And yet there's an uneasy silence in the room right now because the truth is many of us, maybe most of us, aren't really sure about that, aren't really sure whether to believe it. Maybe even thinking like, oh, well, you're a pastor. That's easy for you to say. Like, I have a real job, you know? Like, we don't really believe that in our own lives, that God actually wants to use us. We hear it. We think it's a great idea. Yeah, I know, I've heard that before. Like, if you're an accountant, account as if you're accounting for God, and then God will be using you in your vocation. But I don't feel like that when I'm putting entries into MYOB. Like, whatever it is for you, we don't actually feel like God is using us. Or we wonder if he actually can. Can I be really honest? Since it's just, like, it's just family here. Like, it's just you and me. You know, I have moments where I don't believe that. Or maybe it's not quite that I, like, it's not that I don't believe that God can use me, but like there's definitely moments where I have to double check with God. Like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure about me? Like, I'm pretty sure there's somebody better for this job. I ask that question. And yet There's so many words from Jesus that come back to remind us and to be our example and to say, no, you are chosen. God wants to use you. You can show mercy to people when it's difficult. In Romans, it says this, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Because of his mercy in your life, you live under freedom. But we don't really believe that. We don't live our lives like that is true. We live our lives like we're still living under the requirements of all sorts of things. We wonder why the Bible says that sin is no longer your master, but we keep screwing that one or two or 10 things up. But it says sin's not my master, but I keep screwing that up. We hold back from giving ourselves completely to God. For convenience, if I serve, I might miss out on a better offer. For wealth, everybody else is giving right, so I just really need to save up for this car or this house or for this holiday right now. Or for comfort. Well, yeah, I know I should get to a life group, but I'm in the middle of this really good Netflix series right now and I just need my Wednesday nights for that. I mean, the summary of this is we hold back from giving ourselves completely to God because we don't really trust God that our life will be good if we do. We don't really trust him that there will be peace, that there will be joy. We don't really trust him that giving up all of those things will result in a supernatural result in our lives. We wonder if that is actually true, and we hold ourselves back when we don't give it a chance. We wonder if we've actually got that new life that this passage is talking about. Or did we mess that up somehow? Like, that's for everybody. I think we have this amazing ability to say, oh, well, that's great for everybody else, but you don't know, but for me, that can't be true. Like, that's not how I feel. We don't really feel free right now. Say, I've got a lot going on. Did you hear that list of obstacles that sin's just rattled off? They're in my life. And for all of these reasons, we secretly fear that God can't actually really use us. Can you see a little corner of yourself in any of that? Or maybe even a massive chunk of yourself in there somewhere? Because I can. We wonder whether we're disqualified before we even start. And then if we manage to get past that, we wonder if we're underqualified for what God is calling us to. And so your next fill in there is this. You are not disqualified. You're not disqualified. You have to put that thought out of your head. But Singe, you don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the sins that I've committed. I've been to jail, maybe. I've cheated on my partner. I've spoken harshly to my kids. I forgot to feed the dog. Whatever it is, you don't know what I did. And then we look at others and we say, oh yeah, well, oh, God could use her. Obviously God could use her. Oh yeah, well, God could use that guy. God could bless that person. But God's never going to do that with me. You don't know what I've done. I'm special. I've somehow broken God's mercy and it doesn't apply to me. I'm special. You don't want to be special in this case, guys. You are not disqualified by your past or your mistakes. God's mercy says that you are forgiven and that you are called to be a part of pointing people to him. It says this in Corinthians. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Not through you, not through what you have or haven't done, through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Your next fill in there is that you are not underqualified. You are not under. If you're not disqualified, you might still think, but I'm still not qualified to do that. You're not underqualified either. It's easy to look around and think things like, oh, well, I don't have her talents. I think that about Hannah all the time. I can't sing like she does. I wish I could sing. I don't have her talents. Well, I don't have that guy's gifts. I don't have that ability. I'm not good at school stuff. I'm not outgoing enough. I'm not rich enough. But you're not underqualified. Somebody puts it this way. I've tried to do research and figure out who started the saying. I couldn't figure it out, so we're just going to say somebody. Someone put it this way. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Because you do it because of his mercy, not because of your qualification for being a part of that work. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because God shines through when we work out of our weaknesses. God shines through when we're vulnerable with who we are to other people, but then talk about what God is doing in our lives. God's mercy says, I will show you kindness and get you through whatever I call you to. The way he uses you despite your weaknesses will bring all the greater acclaim to the one who deserves it. And to the mission, which is reconciling people to him, not to you. So this is your next fill in there. It's going to take a bit of explanation. God can, will, and does use anyone. God can, will, and does use anyone. He is powerful enough to use anybody. He is capable. He can use you. You are not too far gone. You have not done anything too bad. He is more than capable of using anyone. And not only is he capable, but he actually will. He is willing. He has used drunks. He has used prostitutes. He's used the mute. He's used adulterers. He's used the depressed. He's used the anxious. He's used the bankrupt. And as Jacob so delicately put it, he's used the dead. He is willing to use us. And not only is he capable, not only is he willing to use us, but he does use us. And here I am. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know how else to point you to this. You were made to make a contribution with your life. And you don't have to go to Kenya or something. You might have to, but you probably don't have to go to Kenya or something. There is a U-shaped ministry opportunity just around the calling. Just around the calling? Just around the corner. Good word, St. John. There's a U-shaped ministry opportunity just around the corner. God's calling might not be to a whole new lifestyle. Anything that you do when you use the talents, the gifts, and the abilities that God has given you to help point others back towards him, that is your ministry opportunity. That is where you take hold of God's mercy and make it active in your life and extend it to somebody else. And I think a lot of the time we think about ministry opportunities as things that happen in the church. And there are plenty of ministry opportunities in the church. Feel free to come and talk to me after if you have some time. But it doesn't have to be in the church. In fact, I would say the vast majority of ministry opportunities exist outside the church. And I'm not even talking about, you know, I think a lot of us have heard, you know, make your occupation your ministry. But I think it's more than that. I think it's just like when you're having coffee with people. I think it's when you choose to be kind to somebody on the street. I think it's, I don't know, when somebody dings your car and you say, you know, look, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's not that big a deal. It's just a car. These are all the day-to-day opportunities where we get to show people mercy. I do think there's like one other group of people, maybe now, who still, maybe I've missed a spot here and you might not be getting it. What if you think you are on track with God and you want to be used and you're on board with us? You go, this is all nice. I love this. I've heard this before, but I don't feel like I am being used anymore. right now. What does that mean for me? I thought, you've been talking about this, disqualification stuff. That's not me. I feel fine about that, but I feel like God isn't using me. You know, I talk a lot to the youth team and the camp team about small conversations, about the tiny moments in life. Maybe you are being used. Maybe it's just like a bit of a whisper moment. We talk about this idea that God speaks to us in a whisper the vast majority of the time. Maybe you're so busy looking out for the big opportunity, waiting to be called to Kenya, that you miss out on the U-shaped ministry opportunities that are in front of you every single day when we consider the miracle of mercy. Your past does not define your future with God. God's mercy does. Your valuables don't define your value. God's mercy does. Your work doesn't define how worthwhile you are. God's mercy does. Your good deeds do not define your freedom from sin. God's mercy does. Your guilt will tell you that you can't, but God's mercy says that you can. And sure, you'll screw it up. Sin will sneak in like a thief in the night, trying to come for your joy. We all blow it sometimes. We've all made dumb decisions in the past that sometimes seem to come back and haunt us. And sure, we need to learn from those things. We can't go on sinning and call it new life either. But it doesn't have to hold you back. You don't have to be stuck in the past, because God's mercy says that there is a new day dawning. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon you, Gateway, to give light to those of you who this morning sit in darkness or in the shadow of death, and it's going to guide you to the path of peace, Gateway. Are you catching this mercy thing? Are we on board? Are we getting on board here? So what? What does this mean this week? This is great. We're feeling good about ourselves. God can use us. But what do we actually do this week with this information? Well, I've got a reflection challenge for you this week, and I've got a challenge for you this week. First of all, I'd love for you this week to find 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. And is everyone looking at me? Don't say you don't have time to find 10 minutes for this. That's a terror. I don't care how busy you are. Go to bed 10 minutes later. You can find 10 minutes. Sorry, that was a bit of a telling off, but there you go. I'd love for us all to find 10 minutes this week to spend in reflection on this question. Where can I see mercy at work in my life? Where can I see God's mercy at work in my life? I challenge you to actually sit in a quiet place to do this. I challenge you to actually literally write down some answers to this, or type them into a note on your phone, whatever it is. Actually mark them down somewhere. And more than that, I challenge you to actually do this, not just like hear it as like a fun challenge and be like, oh, that's a nice idea. Actually, seriously, do you know what? 30 seconds. Take out your phone. Have a look. When can you actually, I'm serious. When can you actually do it? When can you put that 10 minutes in this week? I'm actually going to give you like 20 seconds. It's going to be awkward if no one gets their phones out. That's fine. I'm okay. Okay, so everyone's actually thought about when you're actually going to spend that 10 minutes. Good. And secondly, the challenge for this week. It's a little bit harder to diarize. What do you need to give up to God so that he can use you? He wants to use you. You're not disqualified. You're not underqualified. God's mercy has assured all of that. But you do need to start letting go of the things that you're hanging on to that hold you back from seeing God's mercy in your life or hold you back from offering mercy to others. Jesus puts it this way. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. That's the new life we're talking about. We have to actually give up our old life to step in to the new life. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. So what is it for you? What do you need to give up so that God can use you? Well, great news. There is 5 more weeks of this series to go, which is really exciting. We're going to hear a lot more about mercy. We're going to continue to talk about what mercy means for us, both on Sundays and in life groups during the week. As I said, it's not too late to join a life group and to have some opportunity to discuss some of this content. And, this week, I just pray that verse would be what rings in our heads. The morning light of heaven is about to break upon you. And not like the general you, like you. The morning light is about to break upon you. Hey, Lord, we just thank you so much for your mercy in our lives. We thank you for the big moments of mercy that are easy to see. We thank you for the small moments of mercy. We thank you for the moments of mercy that you planned for us before we were even here. Lord, we just pray that as we reflect on your mercy, that you would talk to us about how you can use us and that you would silence the lies in our head that say you can't use us. Lord, we just pray that we would be more open and that we would be able to hear the whispers of where we can offer mercy and share mercy with others this week. Lord, thank you so much for your mercy in this world and in this church and in our lives and in my life. I love you so much. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.